Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day Sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Blair Burke stood up at David Anthony Burke's arraignment and demanded a preliminary hearing within 10 days. She wanted the evidence in the light of day. She projected confidence. That was last week. This week, Burke's defense team asked the judge to push the hearing out to May 26. They said they needed more time to review the discovery. They also tried to get the prosecution's brief sealed. The judge said no, and that's what we're talking about now. Beth Silverman told the court she warned them this was coming. Something changed between the arraignment and that courtroom reversal, and whatever the defense says in those files, it was enough to make them pump the brakes. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, is joining me along with Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent. Jen, the defense demanded that fast hearing and then asked for a delay less than 2 weeks later. Silverman told the judge she warned them about how much evidence was coming. What did the defense see in that discovery, you think, that made them change course so directly here? And I'm also wondering how much David's attorney knew of what was coming. I mean, without seeing the discovery itself, I'm wondering how forthcoming David might have been to his own defense. What are your thoughts?
Forthcoming, no. Probably not a lot of time to debrief him for the defense. And when the defense saw what we're all looking at, plus a whole lot more, this was a total momentum switch. This is like, you know, you're down by 21 points in a football game and then they score 21 points and the whole thing blows up. That's what this reminds me of, total momentum switch, because they saw the overwhelming evidence for the first time.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Robin.
No, I just had a quick, easy one. I said, do you think there's any, what are the challenges, if any, do you think that the prosecution is going to have on this one?
You know, I think the only challenge is if they try to go for some sort of mental, that's all they got, right? They're going to do the same with Reiner, Nick Reiner. That's all they have, and it's never going to work because he did things to show his consciousness of guilt, like those text messages that he sent out and all these things he did to cover up. It's never going to work because you can be wackadoodle, and as long as you know it's wrong, it doesn't.
For his circle that is around him on this one, assuming that at least some of them are witting of it, is there any kind of cooperation or level of cooperation they could give that would actually get them off? Or do you think they're all screwed that actually had conscious knowledge of this?
I don't think they're all screwed. I really don't. It depends on how much they were involved. We sort of talked about this, right? The low-hanging fruit, but you don't want to get a low-hanging fruit that was really deeply involved in this. But I tell you, from the details we're seeing in that document, I just will be surprised if there's somebody not cooperating.
Yeah, one more follow-up, Tony, sorry. Do you think because, Jen, do you think because of who he is and what we've seen from his behavior that he's the kind of guy that was blah, 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 blah to all his friends and associates about what was going on, what he was doing and everything, or do you think he kept tight lip about it?
Now, do you mean about what he did to her or about his pedo relationship with her?
I think one's going to lead to the other. Do you think he's the kind of guy that is like a look at me, look at me, look at me, that is going to say, because if you actually go into any kind of stressful situation like this and you have a tight circle of people that you're used to being transparent with and sharing a lot of details and information, it's going to be hard not to share, I would think. And so that kind of is a backdrop. Do you think he was that transparent with all his associates before this event? And do you think if he was, it would carry into this event, or do you think he was able to lock it down?
I think he probably shared with one or two, particularly
Neo.
Neo is the one that I think he probably shared with. And I say that because remember, he was immediately with him afterwards. We have all those pictures of them on the ground, high as a kite, you know, doing their thing together, literally right after this. And then we also have the flip of Neo, right? Initially getting away, avoiding having to testify. And then all of a sudden we see in social media, he says, you know, basically I'm bringing the thunder. And that he knew.
Big behavior switches are always great indicators.
It makes you wonder about the when they drug Neo into questioning. It was a short questioning. It was like 40 some minutes compared to others that took days. And I think a lot of us were wondering, well, did he like take the fifth in all this, or did he just drop everything? Was it just like an explosion of information that came out in 45 minutes? They're like, okay, we got everything we need. You've pretty much told us everything, because they have so much in all of this. I'm also curious, a wiretap was brought up in this. Silverman told the court that investigators obtained that wiretap during the investigation. We don't have a lot of information, at least from what I recall in that document, that tells us exactly what was gleaned off of it. But what's your thoughts on that? I mean, how early on do you think they're tapping his phone, and what do you think they gathered out of the wiretap? Because I see a clear path as to where a lot of this other information came from. I'm not quite seeing yet, and maybe that's for court, those extras of what may have been taken from those wiretaps.
Well, a couple of things. When you're talking about a Title III over here investigation, they're the best. That evidence is irrefutable because you're literally listening to somebody who has no idea you're listening to them. Mm-hmm. And all their secrets are coming out and what they did and who he confided in. So it was brilliant for them to do it. And I think that tells you how little evidence they had at the beginning. They had probable cause to get the wiretap, but wiretaps are so hard to get. I mean, those Title III affidavits are, you know, 50 pages long. They're even worse than FISAs because, they are.
But so what did they have to walk into a judge with to get the wiretap on this for him?
You have to not only show, you have to show probable cause that you think they're even discussing that you're going to be able to glean information related to the crime, that they were involved in the crime, that they are using the instruments that you're trying to tap currently, you know, so you have to follow them around and make sure they're even using that phone. So you're taking what back in the day was pen register information, but real information showing that's them, because they call mama, they call best friend, they call their right to show that that's even them, not only with the phone maybe assigned to them, but they're actually using that. So you have to go through a whole litany. If you say they live at this address, you have to cross-reference it with what document you have. It's like a major research paper that's dozens of pages long. And you have you hate them. It is the most intrusive warrant that we write as agents. FISAs are too, but I think FISAs you get so much more because you're talking national security. There's a bunch that's, you know, boilerplate that you throw in.
It depends if it's a U.S. person or not. If U.S. person, it's the same as a Title III, because you have to go through a huge amount of documentation, but you said there's a lot of boilerplate on that. But so here's the really great thing about this, though. If once you go through all the gyrations of getting that Title III up, and it takes months, it can take, because you got to wait for the returns on the pen registers to verify those addresses, to verify the phone numbers. It's laborious. There's tons of checks and balances. But because he's so prolific on his electronic media, I think the ability, I'm curious what you think, Jen, how many more Title IIIs you think they went up on because everyone's chatting. They've got all electronic devices. They got probably iPads. They got computers. They got all these other things. So I think once that one went up, because you have to constantly renew it and show that it's being active, that they're actually gaining intelligence. And based on that, they're able to kind of blossom it out. And then you got to have a whole team just to write friggin' Title IIIs. But do you think they're able to get more on it?
I wonder what more they went after. As you know, whenever the biggest part of once you get your Title III up is monitoring it, right? Mm-hmm. That's 24/7 coverage with an agent there listening. You're all on shift. And it's not just that. That's the easy part, right? Getting your T3 shifts. What the worst part is having your surveillance teams and all of your SWAT on standby and everybody else ready to descend when they hear something. Oh my gosh, he's going to go meet Neo. We need that covered. And you have that surveillance group that literally in almost real time is reacting. It is so heavy, labor intensive. It's really crazy.
I'm getting my PTSD from being in New York City and sitting on, I mean, I work counterintelligence in New York and I can't tell you a number of Title IIIs I sat on mob bosses. Just listening to wives conversations between other wives. And then you got to go through minimizations. It is people have no idea. So here's a good thing for people watching. You hear Jen and I talking. Our Constitution protects our rights so thoroughly that we hate doing these things because the Constitution makes it so thorough, so laborious, because it's such, as she said, it's such an intrusive technique. You have to show it's a progression that you cannot progress this case and do the righteous work unless you use a more intrusive technique. And there's all these checks and balances along the way to do it. But the gold you can get, but the worst thing for a case agent, though, is if you go through all this laborious effort and they don't use that phone.
Yep. True. And when we're talking about a wiretap here, we're talking about two people at least on the call. We got David and there's somebody else for whatever reason that is. We don't know on exactly who's on the other end of the phone calls here with him. But those people, the other folks that are having the conversation that is being tapped, how are those folks being looked at right now? Are these folks who could also be in some trouble for having knowledge of whatever information they're trying to get? Or do these folks that are certainly going to be on the stand if a trial is to happen at some point down the line because, well, they have no choice but to tell their story because we already got you on tape.
Well, this is the thing. Did they aid and abet? Okay. That's the big charge you're looking for. And so, or did they obstruct in any mm-hmm. way? Did they talk about that? Did they go on and say, oh, don't worry, I lied to the police. I lied on the stand. So those are the kinds of charges that I would expect probably more predominantly than actually somebody who conspired with him and did overt acts to do this to her. Although, as I said, you would knock me over with a feather if not one other person was involved in some way. In other words, getting rid of the evidence or facilitating this horrific crime. But that's what the wiretaps can do. They can see if other people obstructed, and maybe nobody did. I mean, maybe he was closed-lipped. We have to at least consider that. And to Robin's point about how every 10 days when you're up on one, you have to do a report, not to your boss, to the judge. And you have to go into the judge and you have to say, look at these 30 conversations. These were all related to the crime. Or you have to take it down. You can't, or criminal activity. You can't just keep wiretapping somebody forever. And by the way, when you're monitoring, so you're on there and all of a sudden David gets on with his mom and they talk about how his mom went to get her nails done and what she's doing for Susie. Click. You have to, that's what you referred to as minimizing. You have to minimize the call because there's no criminal activity there and you have to judge that as an agent and click out. The judges get really mad when you're just want to listen to
They are not fishing expeditions. They're very specific.
But I guess my question to you guys is, I mean, conversations can change on a dime. I mean, how do you know when to listen back in? Spot checking. Without monitoring it. I mean, yes, spot checking, true. But like, is a tape rolling nonstop so you can go back to the tape and go, oh, we should have gone back to that part and heard that part? Or is it just kind of luck of the draw when you're spot checking back in to see if the conversation has changed?
It's you get decent at it. You can tell the people who are involved in the criminal activity as you listen to it and the people who aren't. And so typically, like, the moms aren't usually involved. But then, you know, we had that change of real estate, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So then that makes mom way more interesting now, where I'm going to be listening to what their conversations were. And then I also know, because I have historical vantage, right? I know if he called mom every day for, you know, all the time before this event, or he call her once every 5 months, and now he's calling her every day. So you look at those patterns, and then I'm spot checking often if I got mama with the real estate transactions and the different changes in when they're talking.
And then you're going to the judge and articulating that to the judge about why I'm actually going to be listening to mom. So that's why it's so laborious to do this.
There's obviously a no spousal privilege here for parents. It's a very real possibility that David's mother, his father, could be called to testify if this makes it to trial. Do they have anything they can do to not further incriminate their son, other than can they take the fifth on that and just not have any knowledge of what was going on, even though, you know, clearly maybe evidence shows they did?
They can take the fifth if they, you know, they can take the fifth. And then they can also just become hostile witnesses and not answer. They can lie. They can perjure themselves. So there's a lot of things that you'll see people do. Yeah. But they certainly, as you pointed out, they don't have privilege.
Yeah. If we're talking about somebody like aiding and abetting, you said, but what about just knowledge? I guess it probably depends what that knowledge is to a certain extent. But I guess knowledge of the relationship that it was a 13-year-old, that's one lane. The other lane would be knowledge that there's a body in his frunk, which I'm guessing a lot of people probably didn't know that part. But the 13-year-old part, the relationship part, obviously there are mandatory reporters in this world. They're typically, you know, teachers and therapists and people in certain positions of authority. It's not just, you know, the average Joe's not technically a mandatory reporter, but what about if that was revealed, is there any liability for anybody who had knowledge that this was a 20 some year old with a 13-year-old and they know that they're having this sort of relationship and they didn't report it? Is that a crime to not know that? Or to not report that?
It's a moral crime, but unless they are mandatory reporters, I don't believe it's a crime in California. What do you think, Robin?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm going to do it a double check right now. I think that's going to be the real stretch, is what's the culpability of the parents and those that were witty into the relationship. Because, I'm going to check it right now.
And that's the thing in so many of these cases where it's you have a lot of moral failures going left and right. And I think so many times we assume, like, moral failures have been litigated already and that there are laws for that level of a moral failure. But surprise, in many places, there's nothing for that sort of thing, unless one actually is a mandatory reporter. I'm wondering, I mean, if some of these things need to be changed in terms of responsibility and law, so it's not just get off the hook, that there is some responsibility for anyone who finds out that sort of information, that you too could be held liable in some way, shape, or form beyond just a slap on the wrist if you fail to report this sort of activity going on. Because if it's not for someone reporting it half the time, the abuse just goes on to infinity or a horrible conclusion like this. Robin, what'd you find?
Yeah, parents are not culpable. They're not mandatory reporters. Mandatory reporters in California Penal Code are teachers, school staff, coaches, doctors, nurses, therapists, clergy, with narrow exceptions, daycare workers, foster parents, social workers, law enforcement, firefighters, not parents.
Yeah. It's a lot of folks that are going to have to live with their decisions in this case, I think, for probably a long time. And and try to make some sort of peace with it. Fascinating conversation as always. Jennifer Coffendaffer, Break the Case on YouTube and wherever you get podcasts. Go search it. Go press subscribe. You've been digging a lot into Nancy Guthrie this last week. And that was actually originally going to be our lane of discussion today until all of this came out. But very, very fascinating. Go and check that out. And Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me. It is available wherever you get books. Go and get that. All right. Until next time, for Jennifer, for Robin, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
I like things my way. My coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. so I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the VivGuard Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VivGuardMyWay.com. That's V-Y-V-G-A-R-T MyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about VivGuard Hytrulo, brought to you by Argenix.